Welcome to the 4th and Goal Fantasy Podcast with your hosts, Nick Sykes and Jimbo Donahue.
Is anyone left standing out there?
Oh my god, I have a spare of crutches in my closet.
Oh my gosh. You know, last year we had the Pittsburgh Infirmary, and this year I think everyone's at the hospital. You know, we were talking about these ICU patients for COVID, but I think we have to talk about these NFL athletes on the hospital.
It's only fitting that we have to.
Welcome to the 4th and Goal Podcast, everyone. This is the start of our Week 3 coverage. Today we're going to be breaking down, kind of doing a little bit of buy or sell of all the performances from the games this weekend. Of course, there were, I think it was a record day for injuries in the NFL in a single day.
It was a scary day and a sad day for a lot of people.
Tomorrow we'll be covering transactions, but today we're going to be breaking down what we saw and what some stuff's going to look like moving forward. So without further ado, it's a jam-packed episode, folks. We're going to get into the Buffalo Bills against the Miami Dolphins. Bills won 31-28. The star performer, there's a lot of good stuff on the Bills side. Josh Allen, 417 yards, 4 touchdowns. He looked amazing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe an early MVP candidate. Josh Allen's having a phenomenal start to the year.
Yeah, and last week we were wondering if the Bills are going to continue to throw the ball a lot with the addition of Stephon Diggs, and that looks to be confirmed this week. Diggs, 13 targets, 8 receptions, 153 yards in the score. And John Brown, coming off kind of an injury-ridden week, ended up playing 6 targets, 4 receptions, 82 yards.
Yeah, you love to see it.
How'd the running backs look, Jimbo?
Well, Devin Singletary, 10 carries, 56 yards, underwhelming. But I'm not ready to just jump ship yet when it comes to Singletary. Unfortunately, he is involved in this offense still, which means you still have to keep him. But it is not looking good for Singletary owners.
Yeah, and he did have 2 catches on 3 targets. Zach Moss isn't really seeing a lot of receiving work. He seems to be just kind of their goal line back, which is just really frustrating. A lot of flashbacks to Frank Gore last year. But, I've had a lot of doubts on Stephon Diggs, and I think after this game I'm ready to buy into the Bills' passing offense.
Right, I think so too. Especially just because of how efficient Josh Allen is through the air.
Yep, I think Stephon Diggs is officially a every week starter now.
I agree.
On the Miami side, Fitzpatrick had a very Fitzpatrick day, 328 yards and 2 touchdowns, but no turnovers, very surprising. And the rest of the team is pretty much a mess.
Yeah, I mean, something that we have to either buy or sell into is Mr. Mike Gesicki. That's right, the tight end for the Miami Dolphins, who saw 11 targets and 130 total receiving yards with a touchdown. This is something I'm not sure if I'm necessarily ready to buy into yet, but if this is what we all hoped Gesicki could turn into at the sleeper or as a sleeper pick at the tight end position, but I'm just not ready to be all in with that type of production.
I think I am. I think he showed a lot of promise end of last year, a lot of his targets and stuff. I mean, last year his target share was increasing as the year went on. But I think there's a lot of hype around Gesicki this year. It's kind of a low end tight end one. And I think with, everything going on, like George Kittle owner struggling, I think Gesicki, I'm probably a little more high end than you are, but I'm probably buying into this performance, and I'd be pretty comfortable starting Gesicki going forward. Especially if you have like injuries or anything of that sort. I think.
At this point, yeah, that's the biggest thing is like if you're low on the depth chart at any position, I agree with you there. He does have to be owned.
All right. And then Myles Gaskin, the emerging running back for this team. I mean, no one saw over 7 carries. Him and Breeder were tied. Gaskin did have a lot of receiving work. He seems to be the back to own. Here just because he's involved in the passing game, but I still probably wouldn't start him.
Right. I mean, at this point, go get him if he's available in your league, considering all the injuries that are happening. But as Nick said, he is involved in the passing game. He saw 7 targets, and he was involved in the passing game against the Patriots as well. So it's definitely something to expect.
Yeah. And then I'm kind of selling out on Preston Williams. I'm done waiting for the possible emergence. Pretty much non-existent this game. And Devontae Parker also had a pretty solid game on 8 targets, so very excited. Still love Devontae Parker and still thinks he's worthy of a flex play.
Me as well.
All right, let's move on to our next matchup here, a matchup of the San Francisco 49ers at the New York Jets. The Niners smashed it 31-13, but the Niners season may have just ended in one game.
Right. Although we did get the win in this game, we still ended up feeling, well, at least I felt like we walked away with a loss considering all the major injuries to our team.
Right. We had Jimmy G. I mean, Jimmy G was the ankle, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, Jimmy G out with an ankle injury, probably going to be out, probably the high ankle sprain. We're going to be talking about this injury a lot, but typically in the past, this injury is very hard to come back from, minimum usually 4 to 6 weeks. So Nick Mullins will be filling in, which has a lot of repercussions for this offense. Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman both have knee injuries awaiting diagnosis. Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas on the D-line both tore their ACLs. And we still have Kittle with a knee sprain, as well as both our starting cornerbacks and Verrett and Sherman out.
Oh, my God. Send help. Send help.
I almost got out of breath just listing the injuries. But there's a lot of complaints, bad field conditions here. And the worst part is that the Niners have to go back to MetLife Stadium next week to play the Giants, and they're going back to the same field that pretty much destroyed our entire team.
Right, exactly. My goodness gracious.
And I think what has to do with a lot of these injuries as well is that there was no preseason, there's a shortened camp, and when you're going from 0 to 100, 0 just kind of doing some walkthroughs in camp, and then going to 100, getting hit like a freight train on the field, your body is not really acclimated to getting hit like that.
I definitely wouldn't survive, that's for sure.
Even with conditioning?
Yeah, even with conditioning.
You'd be broken in half.
Even with 4 years of training, I still wouldn't survive in one NFL game.
You look like snapping a Kit Kat in half.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
I mean, before Raheem went down, he had a great game. Same with Tevin Coleman, who seemed to take over after him. Now, what we're looking at here is, I mean, I don't know if you saw the play, Jimbo, but it was a 3rd and 33, and Jerick McKinnon ran the ball for 55 yards.
I did see it. That was
crazy.
3rd and 33. Yeah, it was. I don't know what was more crazy, the fact that the Jets can contain that play or that Jerick McKinnon just turned on the Jets and juked out everyone. That was insane.
It's more of a testament to the Jets being awful. But, I mean, I'm expecting McKinnon to take over this backfield. Going forward, it's just him and Jeff Wilson back there. So, yikes.
Yeah, I mean, you are excited if – I mean, I don't know how many people actually went after Jerick McKinnon besides Niner fans. But the fact that you have him now, it's definitely something that you could be optimistic about. What about the New York Jets? I mean, I don't really see anything that excites me too much. I mean, yeah, Braxton Berrios, are you going out and getting him on the waivers? He saw 8 targets. Jamison Crowder, his future for week 3 is still not certain. And not only that, but Breshad Perriman went down with an ankle injury. How are you feeling about Braxton Berrios?
I don't really care.
Yeah.
Jimbo, Jamison Crowder is your start of the week.
I know. The matchup was juicy, but then he decided to have a hamstring injury in the middle of the week.
Rest in peace. And then Jordan Reed emerged on the Niners side, passing game. I mean, I think if Kittle's out again, I think Jordan Reed could be a sneaky play. But in terms of Nick Mullins throwing the ball, I only trust really tight ends. We saw George Kittle emerge with Nick Mullins, but I'm not trusting any other Niners receiver going forward until Jimmy G's back.
Right. I mean, Jordan Reed led the team in targets, and it was by a large margin. He saw 8 targets, and everyone else, Tevin Coleman 2, Ayuk 3, Raheem Mostert 2, Trent Taylor 3, and Kendrick Bourne was the closest to him, but that was only 5 targets. So Jordan Reed, absolutely must own.
And then Darnold and Frank Gore, those mild, boring days for them.
What about the Bellagio?
We don't check into the Bellagio here.
Yikes.
All right, let's move on here. Denver and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh won 26-21. Another terrible game for injuries. Drew Lock originally thought it was some type of shoulder injury, and I believe it came out he tore his ACL too.
Drew Lock, I don't think so. I don't think it's an ACL tear, but I think he's going to be back around 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's just like a shoulder AC joint issue, but Cortland Sutton struggling with a shoulder issue and then ended up tearing his ACL.
Yeah, Cortland Sutton is the one that, yeah, is going to be out for the year, unfortunately.
And then you had coming in the game, Lindsey was already out with some turf toe injury. Melvin Gordon did very well against a stout run defense, and I think it's almost time to maybe buy into Melvin Gordon, especially if he performed against Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. And then another passing option goes down for this Denver offense, which means I foresee Melvin Gordon seeing more targets in the passing game. But yeah, he also led the way with 19 carries for 70 yards. Definitely a must start, in my opinion, every week.
I don't think Jeff Driskel is too much of a downgrade from Drew Lock. So,
right.
I mean, I'm not starring Jerry Jeudy anytime soon, who did lead the team in targets, but I still feel comfortable throwing Noah Fant out there. I think he's incredible.
Absolutely. I agree.
On the other side of the ball, we had my start of the week, Ben Roethlisberger, absolutely pop off with 311 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. If you started Big Ben this week and you listen to the podcast, then you're very happy.
Yes. And if you listen to the podcast and you started, who'd I pick? Phillip Rivers? You're not very happy.
I wonder what Saab's thinking.
Oh, shoot.
Pittsburgh rushing, James Conner stayed healthy, had a great game. Receiving, my guy, I love this guy so much, Deontay Johnson. I try to get him everywhere I could this season. 13 targets, 8 receptions, 92 yards in the score. The emergence of Deontay Johnson has come.
Do you think if I saw 13 targets in a game, do you think I'd make at least one catch?
No.
All right, fine, fair.
Maybe like a little bubble screen or something.
Yeah. All right, we also have Chase Claypool, who saw only 3 targets, but he walked away with 88 yards and a touchdown. He also had a fantastic catch in his week 1 performance. Is this someone that's going to be starting to creep up? Is he about to be a sneaky pick off the waiver wire?
I think he has the potential, but I think only seeing 3 targets, I'm tending on the side of not for my team. I'd rather keep a guy like Robbie Anderson, Russell Gage on my bench than Chase Claypool at this point.
Due to their
20%+ target share. Deontay Johnson, after 2 games, is 3rd in target share in the NFL.
Yeah, if he's available, he's a must own, and he's also a must start.
Yeah, and he outscored Juju Smith-Schuster, who had 8 targets, 7 receptions for 48 yards. Ebron, still kind of irrelevant. You can't really trust him. That's basically kind of all the takeaways from this game. I'm just glad I'm buying into Big Ben going forward. I think he's going to be a really sneaky waiver wire pick going forward.
I agree.
I'm really buying into this Pittsburgh offense.
I love it. I think they have a shot at making the playoffs for sure.
All right, next up, Jim, I'll let you cover this one. It's the Minnesota Vikings against the Indianapolis Colts. Colts won 28-11.
Oh, God, why are you doing this
to me?
Go
ahead and talk about your 2 favorite quarterbacks.
Why are you doing this to me? Well, one quarterback is on my team that I had to start, and then the other quarterback was my start of the week where I told everyone else to start.
How did they do, Jimbo?
Well, if you had Phillip Rivers, then you did better than having Kirk Cousins, that's for sure. Kirk Cousins was on my team, and he had -1.something points total. It was a crap show. He finished the game with 113 yards. Oh, yeah, 0 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. It was not pretty. And he only threw the ball. Well, he only completed 11 of his 26 attempts. This was not good by any means. on the other side, the other guy who throws the ball, Old Man River, he had a total of 214 passing yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception. If you watch this game, then I understand if you had a nice evening or morning nap. This was by far one of the worst games I've ever seen. Unless you had Jonathan Taylor, but we'll go ahead and get into him a little later here. If you had the Minnesota rushing Dalvin Cook, then you're fine. He had 14 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. And he also had 2 receptions for 8 yards. Nothing too crazy, but still being involved. Justin Jefferson emerged finally as a passing option here. He had 3 targets, came away with 3 receptions and 44 yards, but 0 touchdowns, as I mentioned earlier. Adam Thielen saw 8 targets. That's promising, but can only walk away with 3 receptions and 31 yards.
When your quarterback has a quarterback rating of 9.3.
Yeah, that's...
that's the lowest I've ever seen.
That's... I feel like... Okay, I asked if I could catch a ball with given 13 targets. I think I could have a better QB rating here with this type of opportunity.
Oh, God, that is rough. Yeah, I've been burned too many times by Rivers in the past to ever trust him or start him. So I was already skeptical. I was like, oh, now you've learned your lesson, Jimbo.
I have,
No
yes.
more trusting Phillip Rivers.
It was a humbling week for sure. What do you make of this Vikings offense moving forward?
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of hype was around the Indianapolis Colts defense. I mean, you had Malik Hooker go down. who's their really like Pro Bowl safety, torn Achilles, and then you have Paris Campbell, the guy emerging as like kind of their slot reliable receiver, go down with the torn ACL.
Right.
So for Minnesota, though, I mean, I think Indianapolis Colts defense is very underrated and they're very good, but good Lord, I don't know. Yeah, I think in hard matchups, I don't really trust the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, you're happy if you have Adam Thielen because he's going to get the majority of targets. And for that reason, you roll him out every week. And Dalvin Cook, obviously. But if you're Kirk Cousins and that's your number one quarterback, then you're throwing up a prayer every Sunday morning.
Yeah, no, we can't start Kirk Cousins until we see something better.
Well, I have to start Kirk Cousins because I have no other options. But if you don't, then run. Run far away.
Jonathan Taylor has emerged. Nyheim Hines was basically non-existent.
He was playing a good game of hide-and-seek, that's for sure.
Taylor, 26 carries, 101 yards, one touchdown, two catches for 9 yards. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's emerged. New top 10 running back is here to stay.
Absolutely. I mean, are you a little bummed that he wasn't involved more in the passing game? Sure you are, but that doesn't mean you're not happy at all with his performance on the ground. If this is the type of bulk of the carries that he's getting every game, then absolutely he's going to be a top 10.
Right, and last thing here, Mo Alie-Cox, their tight end, 5 receptions, 111 yards. Mo Alie-Cox is the biggest tight end in the league, and I believe Jack Doyle was out, right?
Yeah, he was injured. Yeah. So I guess at this point, is this a performance that you are buying into at the tight end position?
Nah, I don't want to buy into Rivers. I'll buy into Jonathan Taylor, and that's about it. I was going to buy into Paris Campbell, but rest in peace.
Fair. The last thing I'll say, and that means you don't have to listen to me, you can fast forward, is that Michael Pittman Jr. did see 6 targets. He did have a lot of hype. He's a rookie on the rookie wide receiver heading into this season. He did have a lot of hype heading into this season. But now that Paris Campbell is down, he might be a target that emerges for Phillip Rivers. But at this point, I'm still just going to pump the brakes on him. But it is something I'm going to be keeping my eye on.
All right, next matchup, Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans. Once again, Jaguars surprising, keeping this game close to the very last seconds of the game. Titans ended up squeezing it out 33-30. Minshew, I don't even know what to say about Minshew. I mean, in most standard leagues, he had 29 points this last week, and a very great week for Minshew, 339 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Yeah, people keep doubting the Jaguars, but Minshew keeps them in the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's me included. I think I even talked about how last week I was pumping the brakes on Minshew a little bit. I needed to see a little more. He only threw the ball 20 times last week. Well, this week he came out and threw the ball 45 times, walked away with 339 yards and 3 touchdowns. I absolutely feel comfortable rolling him out. If you do have a Kirk Cousins or Phillip Rivers situation, I'm choosing Minshew 10 times out of 10. I would definitely roll with him for the entire season.
I think another guy emerging is James Robinson, 16 carries, 102 yards, 1 touchdown. He didn't have 100% of the snaps, or not 100% of the carries this game, but he had the far, far majority. And I think it's almost time for you to start James Robinson and consider him for your flex play.
Absolutely. He did not get 100% of the carries, but he did get 100 yards. 16 carries for 102 yards and a touchdown. That is the type of performance that dreams are made of right there.
All right, I think it's the big question I think a lot of people are asking on this Jacksonville offense. Now, are you panicking about DJ Chark?
No, absolutely not. He walked away with 84 yards. Yeah, he did not get a touchdown, but he's still the most talented receiver in this offense, and I'm pretty sure he's also the biggest receiver in this offense. After 2 weeks, you definitely still hold on to him.
Yeah, I'm definitely, as a Chark owner in a lot of leagues, I'm getting pretty nervous about Chark. I mean, he saw 3 targets last week and 4 targets this week. Keelan Cole, Chris Conley, Tyler Eifert all receiving more targets than him. Obviously, Chark is more of the downfield threat, but, I mean, if you look back to last year, he was already getting way more targets than he is this year. I'm just a little nervous about Chark. I mean, I'm glad he's still kind of producing. So you can kind of throw him out there, but I definitely want to see an increase in targets. And if I don't see it in week 3, I'm going to get a little nervous.
Absolutely. Yeah, I understand your worries.
Other side of the ball, Ryan Tannehill, another great game, 4 touchdowns, only 24 passing attempts. But I think Tannehill is becoming a weekly starter.
Absolutely. Yeah, No, I actually tried to go out and trade for Ryan Tannehill just because of how efficient he is in this offense. They move the ball down with Derrick Henry. They're going to run it 30 times with him, and that opens up plenty of play action, and it opens up plenty of downfield plays. I love Ryan Tannehill going forward, especially how efficient he is.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, Jumbo, another start of the week for you.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Derrick Henry, the king, King Henry himself. A measly 25 carries for 84 yards. Still looking for that first touchdown on the season.
Oh, really? I forgot he didn't score last week.
Yes, exactly. My shoe-in pick still failed me.
Don't worry. I chose Nick Chubb, and he was a RB2 this week for fantasy.
Yes. I should have picked Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu Smith, two TDs. I'm buying into Jonnu Smith. I think he's a very solid play at the tight end position.
Right.
Like, he only had four receptions, but he's our red zone target on this team.
Yeah, I think he's had five touchdowns over his last six games played. So he's definitely one of the biggest targets and the most effective targets in this offense. He's a must-own.
All right. Time to talk about the man himself, Corey Davis. Jimbo, are you buying into Corey Davis? Five targets, three receptions, 36 yards, and a touchdown.
I'm still holding off, but I have to use a lot of restraint to do so, but I'm still holding off. And the reason being is because A.J. Brown, he only had a bone bruise. This was nothing that scared me. He didn't have a hamstring. He didn't have an ankle. Nothing that was torn or broken. I think a bone bruise can be easily... healed through for a week, and as soon as he comes back, I think A.J. Brown is going to reclaim his role as the top receiver in this offense.
Yeah, and if you look back to last season, Corey Davis, he only in half PPR formats only exceeded 10 points twice last season. You know, you see usually averages around five targets a game, maybe 40 yards, and that's pretty consistent what he had this game. So I'm holding off on Corey Davis. I still don't want any part of him.
Me as well.
All right, let's move on to a much more exciting matchup here. The most exciting matchup, the most exciting matchup. The Atlanta Falcons at the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys won 40-39 on what was an incredible onside kick and an incredible comeback from the Cowboys.
Absolutely. I was getting flashbacks to the Atlanta Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Falcons threw like a 20-something odd point lead. The Cowboys' first half looked like the worst team in the NFL.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, that was really, really crazy to see the inefficiency. The only thing that could get going was Ezekiel Elliott. Dak was definitely scaring me for sure in the first half, but luckily he was able to walk away with a really, really good game. But my God, this was back and forth for sure.
Yeah, both quarterbacks pretty much led the leaderboard in fantasy, both of them having four touchdowns. Dak with three on the ground, and Dak throwing for over 400 yards is just crazy. Look at Todd Gurley, a little concerning, 21 carries, only 61 yards, and nothing really receiving there for Todd Gurley.
Yeah, I don't think he had any receptions. I'm not ready to jump ship on Todd Gurley just yet, considering that he had five targets last game. So it definitely is a rough game for him, but the fact that he got 21 carries is a good sign for his durability, and it is a good sign that the team trusts that he can carry that load for the season to move on. So that's why I'm not necessarily ready to jump ship on Todd Gurley yet.
Yeah, at least he got the carries. Ridley continuing his dominance, and Jimbo, your start of the week.
Oh, yes, Hayden Hurst, the tight end. Eight targets, five receptions, 72 yards, and a touchdown. Just when I thought I was going to win the tight end matchup. We'll be talking about your start of the week later.
Yes, of course.
My only pick that did something right. I'm still going to lose.
All right, and then Dallas receiving. CeeDee Lamb seems to be one of the best receivers for Dallas. I think he might be the best receiver for them, and they're just starting to realize that Amari Cooper and him had identical stats with nine targets, six receptions, about 100 yards. But the man we need to talk about is Dalton Schultz, the tight end filling in for the injured Blake Jarwin. The most targets on the team, the most receptions, and 88 yards and a score.
Are you buying into the performance?
Yeah. I think he's filling into the – I was really already buying into Blake Jarwin coming into the season because Dak loves targeting tight ends. I think Dalton Schultz has the potential to really climb up the leaderboard this season.
Absolutely. Welcome to the league, and welcome to everyone's fantasy team.
All right, next matchup, we have the Rams at the Eagles, which was kind of a slaughter. 37-19, Rams win. Yeah, I'm just going to jump straight to it. My start of the week for tight end was Tyler Higbee, the number one tight end of the week, five receptions, 54 yards, and three touchdowns.
All right, you win. I get it.
Higbee again.
Higbee!
I think I had a clean sweep on the starts of the week last week.
Yeah, that's true.
Not even like just like comparing our two starts of the weeks, but I think just in general, I think they're all just like super solid picks that performed.
Right, right. Robert Woods, Nick, five targets, two receptions, 14 yards. We're obviously not buying into this performance.
No, Robert Woods is still very reliable.
Absolutely.
It was just an unfortunate circumstance. Cooper Kupp, in half-point PPR formats, 5 for 81. You're still pretty happy with that. Jimbo, Malcolm Brown, are you nervous?
Not at all. Not at all. I'll let you know when I'm nervous. Everyone's going to know when I'm nervous. Malcolm Brown, when he was in, saw 11 carries for 47 yards, which is 4.3 yards per carry. When he was in, it did look really, really good. However, he did have a finger injury late in the game, which insert Daryl Henderson, and he had a great game as well. So is it a nightmare? Is it a headache? Yes. But all I have to say is I'm glad that Miles Sanders was able to walk away with another great game.
I know. With Carson Wentz looking like pure trash, Carson Wentz owners, I think it's time to drop Carson Wentz, by the way, if you're holding on to him.
Yeah, definitely terrifying. Even the short slant route passes, he was completely missing them on his open underneath running backs.
Yeah, even when he wasn't pressured. And like, and the person who was controlling the audio in the stadium was playing boos for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, like, it's only appropriate.
Not even any fans, he's getting booed.
Yeah.
But yeah, Miles Sanders, his debut was here. 20 carries, 95 yards, and a touchdown. Three catches for 36 yards. This is why you drafted him.
Absolutely, especially the fact that he saw seven targets in the passing game. So hopefully, with our fingers crossed, this was his first game back, which is super, super promising, the fact that he did this well. So fingers crossed he stays healthy, but I'm starting him every week without any hesitation with this type of workload.
Right, and Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz both had kind of mediocre weeks because Carson Wentz didn't throw any touchdowns. Rager and Jackson, kind of mediocre weeks as well, but Jackson seeing the heavy target share for this team. I feel like there's not really any takeaways really from this game other than Miles Sanders is great and you should start worrying about this Philadelphia offense.
Yeah, I guess the only other positive for this offense is that like Dallas Goedert still saw more targets than Zach Ertz, which is still really crazy back-to-back weeks. But yeah, if you got Dallas Goedert, then you're definitely happy to have him.
All right, moving on. New York Jets, Chicago Bears, a snooze fest, if you will. Bears won 17-13. And, of course, storyline we're covering here is Saquon Barkley goes down with a torn ACL.
My God.
Very sad.
Yeah, this is just so crazy. I think it definitely is. You mentioned it earlier in the show. It has everything to do with the fact that with this type of sport, how physical and demanding it is and how brooding it is, you just can't go from 0 to 100. And we saw that on Sunday yesterday. So that was just so sad to see Saquon go down again.
Yeah, Daniel Jones looked pretty awful. Trubisky was Trubisky. Evan Ingram did seem to kind of emerge as the top passing option, but I don't want any real part of this New York's offense now, especially with Saquon out. I mean, Evan Ingram's the only person I'm willing to take a shot on, but the Giants' season shot without Saquon.
Absolutely, absolutely. What do you do with Daniel Jones now? Do you drop him, try to seek better options, or do you have to hold on to him?
I drop him.
Yeah. Do you go after Deion Lewis, who had 10 carries and for only 20 yards? He did walk away with a touchdown.
No,
but
we saw Wayne Gallman's on the team, but he was a healthy scratch this week. I mean, Deion can't carry the load. If they don't sign someone like Devontae Freeman, I'm guessing it's going to be some type of a timeshare, and it's just going to be ugly. You saw Saquon struggle to kind of perform with this offense, and it's just going to be worse with lower talent.
Absolutely.
On the other side of the ball, David Montgomery left at halftime with a possible neck injury, then came back second half. Had a great day. Running and receiving is kind of the potential we saw in David Montgomery. Allen Robinson had 9 targets but struggled to produce anything. I'm really just not excited anything about this Bears offense. Allen Robinson, obviously not happy where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if it has everything to do with the chemistry with the Allen Robinson and his team now. We know all the hype about what happened during this past week. Allen Robinson deleting all the Bears-related pictures off his social media, not happy with contract negotiations. I wonder if just everything on the Bears team just seems like a dumpster fire besides David Montgomery. And this is actually a performance I'm actually buying into throughout the rest of the season.
Definitely buying into David Montgomery. I'm selling this performance. I think it's kind of a dud week for Allen Robinson. I think it will get better. You buy into that target share, 9 targets. The next closest targets was 3. I mean, he's the only really thing producing on this offense with David Montgomery. So you still start Allen Robinson every week.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to our next game here. A slaughter. Green Bay, Detroit. Green Bay smash 42-21. I think we have vintage Aaron Rodgers back.
I think so, too. I mean, he did only walk away with 240 yards, but he didn't need to be the dominating Aaron Rodgers that we saw last week. He was just extremely efficient.
Right. Aaron Jones, the top running back of the week. You know, a lot of people were scared on Aaron Jones coming into the season with the addition of A.J. Dillon and then just his projection just to have touchdown regression because he scored touchdowns an insane amount last year. And it looks like he's defying the odds and retaining that. 3 touchdowns this week, insane numbers on the ground and in the air. Aaron Jones owners everywhere rejoice.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can sleep every night peacefully knowing that you have Aaron Jones, because there's literally AJ Dillon poses no threat. 5 carries for 17 yards. Absolutely not. Yeah, no, Aaron Jones is picking up exactly where he left off from last year.
And none of the pass catching options are really too exciting, but unfortunately, Davante Adams really seemed to be turning to form in week one and unfortunately has a hamstring-ish injury. You hate to see this. I mean, probably out, probably multiple weeks. Possibility of re-aggravating it when he returns. It's something you just hate to see for your star wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, was there another injury? Was Marquez Valdes-Scantling? I'm not sure, but
I can look it up right now.
Yeah, I mean, at this point that you had, those are guys, the Alan Lazard, MVS, they have to be owned if Davante Adams' week 3 availability is in jeopardy. I'm not necessarily ready to roll them out yet, just considering how much Aaron Jones is used in this passing game, but it's definitely not good to see if for Davante Adams owners.
Right, other side of the ball, Matt Stafford kind of saved his day with a late game touchdown. The backfield's a freaking mess. Peterson, Johnson, DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift had the highest kind of snap share, if you will, the most work receiving, but still not startable. I think DeAndre Swift is probably the only hold on this offense. Hawkinson, a decent day, but we got to wait for Kenny G to come back for really this offense to get going.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you're happy to see that Marvin Jones saw 6 targets. He was able to walk away with a touchdown. He might be worth a desperate flex start at this point, if Kenny Galladay still stays out, but nothing that's too exciting from this offense.
All right, now going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Carolina Panthers. Bucks 31, Panthers 17. Brady, a good NFL game, but a very poor fantasy game.
Yeah, definitely underwhelming for sure. 217 yards and only walked away with 1 touchdown. I mean, luckily they didn't need to air the ball out considering how efficient Leonard Fournette was and how dominating he was, which is something that we predicted against a poor Carolina defense. But it's still, I mean, how are you feeling about Tom Brady at this point? Week 1, he was able to walk away with 2 touchdowns, but it was still rather a little bit uncharacteristic from Brady. Are you worried at this point, Nick?
Yeah, I think I'm benching him. Benching him for probably Tannehill, Big Ben going forward this week.
Right.
I'm dropping Carson Wentz off my team, storing Tom Brady on my bench so we can kind of prove it otherwise. I'm very disappointed in this performance. The only good thing from this game, really, Mike Evans, obviously it was Mike Evans, and Leonard Fournette emerged. Thank God it happened.
Absolutely.
I didn't know if it happened week 2, but Leonard Fournette, he's here, and he's here to stay, I think. An amazing, amazing efficiency for Leonard Fournette, and I think he's finally stole the starting role.
Yeah, I agree. Looks like Rob Gronkowski is playing hide-and-seek with Nyheim Hines.
Other side of the ball, McCaffrey out with a high ankle sprain. Probably going to be 6 to 8 weeks. The high ankle sprain is hard to come back from. Recall last season, A.J. Green missed all of last season with a high ankle sprain. It's just very, very hard to come back from in the same season. So, I mean, people looked at Mike Davis, who did nothing.
Right.
The only redeeming factor of this team is D.J. Moore and Robbie Anderson, who are just target monsters and both had over 100 yards this game.
Yeah, I'm not ready to jump on Mike Davis just yet. He did see 8 targets and was heavily involved in the passing game, but now he has to be the lead back. So I don't even know if how they're going to use him in the passing game when he has to be the lead running back in this offense now. But you are happy that Robbie Anderson was able to come away with another dominating performance.
Yeah, buy Robbie Anderson if he's out there.
Absolutely.
All right, next matchup, Cardinals smashed the Washington football team 30-15. Kyler Murray, another immaculate game. Kenyon Drake, 20 carries, 86 yards. Chase Edmonds, barely even part of the offense this game. Great game for Hopkins as always. Buying all these performances. I'm very excited. I think Kenyon Drake's on the upward trajectory here.
Yeah, I mean, when you get that type of amount of carries, when you get 20 carries around there, then he's definitely an automatic start. It was definitely promising. I was worried about Kenyon Drake and his workload heading into this game. The fact that they went up against Washington might have had something to do with it, but if he gets 20 carries a game, that's awesome. I love that.
Other side of the ball, Antonio Gibson kind of emerged, 13 carries for 55 yards on the score. As well as Scary Terry McLaurin, 10 targets, 7 receptions, 125 yards on the score. Scary Terry, the only pass-catching option on this team.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that Logan Thomas saw 9 targets, you're hopeful that something ends up panning out, but definitely not a start in my book, especially when Dwayne Haskins is throwing the ball. But yeah, Terry McLaurin, 10 targets, and he is a wizard when it comes to route running.
And I'm buying into Antonio Gibson this week. I think with all the injuries, I think a team out there is going to have to start Gibson. And you love to see just his workload and involvement in the offense continue to climb. So I think Antonio Gibson owners are going to honestly probably have to play him these upcoming weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, another smash matchup here. The Baltimore Ravens and the Houston Texans, 33-16. Oh, man. I mean, this game was really ugly to watch. I mean, Deshaun Watson saved his day with some garbage time touchdown, so we kind of told you not to play him. He was middle of the pack this week for quarterbacks, but, I mean, you kind of knew this was going to be a smash.
Right, definitely the Phillip Rivers, Kirk Cousins tier. Definitely better than Kirk Cousins, but my goodness gracious, that was awful.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the Ravens spread out the ball throughout all their running backs. Mark Ingram, the lucky one that had the touchdown. Marquise Brown, average day. Mark Andrews, a very poor performance, 1 for 29. But I mean, when you're smashing and the game is this easy, I wouldn't take anything too seriously from this game. The Ravens seem to be pretty much coasting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just so hard to try to choose who's going to be the lead back in this game or the lead performer. Mark Ingram was crazy efficient, but he only saw 9 carries. Gus Edwards led the team with 10 carries, and then J.K. Dobbins only had 2 carries with 0 touchdowns. So it's still a nightmare in that backfield, but I'm still holding on to Mark Ingram.
Right, and David Johnson, hard to run against this Ravens D. Brandon Cooks did kind of emerge this game, and am I seeing this right? Will Fuller had 0 targets?
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't know where he went.
Yep, Brandon, yeah. This is the best part about not having number one option.
Will Fuller had 1 carry, but I don't see him having any targets.
Oh, boy. Well, that's the Texans for you.
My goodness, that's so weird. 1 carry for 0 yards from Will Fuller.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness gracious. He was not targeted
at
all.
I don't want to play the Texans at all. I don't want any part of this. Maybe David Johnson, but even still, I can't play anyone going forward until
I
see something.
What the heck is happening? That's so weird. My God. All right.
All right, let's just move on.
Wow.
Chiefs, Chargers, very close game. Justin Herbert making his debut thanks to the rib injury, Tyrod Taylor having trouble breathing in pregame. Herbert did amazing for a rookie debut against Mahomes. 3 out of 11, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Definitely someone a lot of people are going to be targeting this week.
Yeah, he completely balled out. And not only that, but everyone around him kind of balled out. I mean, you saw Austin Eckler have 93 yards. You saw Joshua Kelly have 23 carries for 64 yards. Keenan Allen saw his 10 targets, walked away with 96 yards. Hunter Henry, everyone pretty much balled out. And this is the type of, Los Angeles Chargers offense that everyone was investing in. And I really, really hope they give the ball back to Justin Herbert moving forward. I don't think it's a guarantee at this point. I think Lynn actually has come out and said that we don't know who the starter is going to be. It depends on Tyrod's availability. But honestly, we know what this offense looks like with Tyrod, and I choose Justin Herbert's offense 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, and the 23 carries for Josh Kelly out-carrying Eckler, that makes me really excited for Josh Kelly, and I think he's an automatic pickup if he's out there in your league.
Oh, absolutely. That workload needs to be owned.
Yeah, the Chiefs, obviously, the Chargers D played very, very well, so it was a hard game for Mahomes and company. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, he kind of salvages fantasy day through kind of a little bit of the six receptions for 32 yards. But, I mean, kind of an off game for Helaire. But, I mean, he's still seeing the most work out of that backfield, and I'm not worried about Helaire at all.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of an off game, but he's by far the best talent they have in their backfield.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins disappeared. One catch for 11 yards. Sammy Watkins did get concussed in this game. Kelce and Tyreek Hill, normal. Yep. Normal days for them.
Doing what they do best.
Right, so I think that's pretty much going to do it for this matchup. Let's move on to our last one, the exciting marquee matchup of the week, New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks with the last-ditch effort to stop Cam at the goal line at the end of the game. I know a lot of people, Russell Wilson did this last year, where the first half of the season we thought for sure Russell Wilson's a shoe-in MVP. And remember last year, I remember thinking Russell Wilson should be a midseason MVP, and then after midseason he fizzled off. Now, if Russ can keep this type of insane quarterback play for the season, he'll for sure win MVP.
Absolutely. I think he has 9 total passing touchdowns already.
Yeah. But honestly, I think my dark horse MVP candidate's going to be Cam Newton. Doing what he's doing, throwing for 400 yards with the personnel that he has, the personnel Tom Brady couldn't work with, it's even worse personnel this year.
Leading the team in carries and rushing yards.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, Cam Newton should be in consideration for MVP if he keeps this up throughout the season. Honestly, insane stuff by Cam Newton. Julian Edelman, a career day in receiving yards, 179. Oh, my God.
I know. And
he never did that with Tom Brady. I was, like, shocked to hear that stat.
Yeah, 11 targets, 8 receptions, 179 yards. That's exactly what you hoped for. We knew Edelman was going to get the bulk of these targets, but my God. I don't think any of us could have predicted this type of ceiling.
Yeah, and now we got to keep our eyes on N'Keal Harry, Damir Bird receiving a lot of targets as well. Put a lot more hope into this New England offense. And yeah, I'm starting it now. You heard it here first, folks. MVP Cam.
MVP Cam.
Chris Carson thing. 17 carries, 72 yards, another receiving touchdown. You got to be ridiculous. This has got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I mean, you're amazing. Definitely. He doesn't have a dominating workload on the ground, but whatever he doesn't have on the ground, he makes up for in the air. That's why he's one of the best running backs to have in this league, and not to mention he is the number one running back in the Seattle Seahawks offense. The only thing that we have to worry about is his health, and he looks completely healthy, and I expect him to keep performing at this level.
Right, and my guy, Tyler Lockett, 7 receptions, 67 yards, 1 touchdown. And Stephon Gilmore couldn't even contain DK Metcalf with that huge deep ball. Incredible stuff from Seattle. I think they're going to possibly win the NFC West this year.
Absolutely. I actually think they're going to head straight to the Super Bowl. This is insane.
All right, folks. I think that's pretty much going to do it from us here today. Wow. A freaking week of injuries. We're going to be breaking down the transactions for you tomorrow, trying to give you the best options at every position. Kind of breaking down possibly some fab values or how much percent fab we were thinking of spending on these players. But it's going to be a hectic day of transactions tomorrow, people. Remember to tune in tomorrow.
Absolutely. And enjoy the Monday Night Football matchup tonight, the Las Vegas Raiders versus the New Orleans Saints.
At the first game of the Death Star, the Raiders in Vegas. All right, everyone. Once again, you can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you could please subscribe to us on Apple and write us a review, we'd really appreciate it. Thanks again for tuning in, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.